Classic Business, education and training.
Well, South Africa's public schooling system is riddled with problems. I think we all know that. And I have to echo Pepe Maree, the co-founder of Joe Public, sentiments that our country is so emotionally caught up in the systematic destruction that apartheid caused that we don't see the systematic violence of an educational system that steals people's dreams. And in too many cases, South African schooling doesn't equip a child either for further study or for the world of work or for anything really that is of societal value. And why is that? Why can we not get to a virtuous schooling cycle which is characterized by well-educated, well-trained and motivated teachers, all the appropriate infrastructure and materials, as well as the requisite support for the various departments and management teams? Well, what happens when universities, NGOs and schools work closely together to address some of these issues? Well, this was the subject of a recent article published on The Conversation, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Professor Di Wilmot, who is Dean of Education at Rhodes University, to talk about an initiative in Makanda, which is formerly Grahamstown, to improve the outputs of the small town's public schools. Evening, Professor Wilmot.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, the lack of adequate skills in South Africa is often cited as one of the challenges that inhibits our economic growth potential. And obviously, this talks to the quality or the lack thereof of our education at the foundational level and more broadly in public schools, which is what your article addresses. Before we talk about Makanda specifically, you mentioned that there is starkly unequal access to quality education. Where are we going wrong from the policy perspective?
Well, I think it's not so much where we're going wrong. I think we've realized that there are many problems. There are problems with school leadership, there's problems with infrastructure, there's problems with the teacher unions, and we can carry on naming them. But I think it's also important to look at what is actually being done about this problem. And at a systemic level, the Department of Higher Education and Basic Education have implemented a number of strategies to try and strengthen schooling. But like everything, it takes a long time, and there have been a number of constraints. So in terms of teacher education, which is what I'm interested in, we have a new teacher education policy that is called the Mr. Tech, the Minimum Requirements for Teacher Education Qualifications. And that actually addresses the problem of teacher knowledge, because one of the constraints in the system, of course, is that our teachers don't have enough content knowledge to be able to teach effectively.
And that is a massive constraint. I mean, if you look at the apex of the problem, the base of the pyramid, it does boil down to that interaction at a classroom level between the teacher and students. Now, what's the situation in public schools in Makanda currently?
Well, there's a very wide range of schools and in terms of performance and outcomes. I mean, we've got, it's often quoted, we have the very best of schools and we have the very worst of schools. What we've done is target schools where there's a readiness for change. And we've entered into partnership with them, with an NGO, to actually try and address some of the challenges that they're facing. But it works on a number of different levels. I mean, the intervention doesn't only work with the school, it's working with leadership in the schools as well. So, for example, through our business school, we are offering and have offered leadership courses for all the principals in town, for deputy principals and for heads of department. And I think you've got to approach this problem at different levels and in different ways.
Mm. Mentoring is a key one. So the idea of partnering with schools and upskilling principals and teachers is fantastic. It reminds me very much of the Partners for Possibility approach that is being rolled out across the country. Who have you partnered with?
Well, we've partnered with one of the oldest NGOs in Grahamstown, Gadra Education, and this has actually given us the flexibility that we wouldn't normally have had just if we'd worked on our own as a university. Gadra is very focused on changing education and transforming public education, and so they've been our implementing partner, if you like. And we have a memorandum of agreement with Gadra, and we work together as a team.
You initiated this in 2016, I believe. So far, what's the impact been?
Well, the university, when our Vice-Chancellor, Dr. Mabuzela, was inaugurated as Vice-Chancellor, one of his goals was to actually contribute to building a vibrant and sustainable Grahamstown community. And part of that, on the one side, was, you know, working with the municipality, but on the other side, he recognized that we had to make a difference in education. Because it's no good being a university if we're not here to serve the public good. And so we decided to enact his vision to start making a difference in our own city. And to date, the successes, there have been a number of successes, and each year we're building on those. Mm. I think the biggest success overall is that we are starting to create pathways and strengthen the pathways for young people that would not normally have got into a university to actually access our university.
And that is critically important to open up those pathways. And I see in the other, in the reverse of that, you're running a mentoring program called the 9-10ths at 3 secondary schools, where you're getting final year pupils paired with highly trained road students, volunteers. So getting the road students, the rodents out into the community and to help mentor grade 12s, which is a fantastic initiative.
Indeed it is, and we're very, very fortunate to have an amazing resource in our students, and they are incredibly committed, and they undergo a short course in mentoring, so they're properly trained, they take it very seriously, and, you know, by drawing on their resources, we've been able to work with young people and inspire young people, because, you know, our students are role models to young people at school still. So it's been very exciting.
What else has been done to help these students make the transition to university? And we obviously know financially, through the Fees Must Fall movement, it's not just about the tuition fees. It's about accommodation. It's about food and nutrition and transport and all of those other things. Are you doing any work in that area?
Well, one of the things we've started is what we call a bridging program. And so what happens is that students that don't quite make a bachelor's pass, for example, go to GADRA. GADRA has a second chance school, a highly successful second chance school. And so what they do is they repeat 2 matric subjects and to improve their marks so that they can access the university. But parallel to that and concurrently, we've now allowed them to come in and do a course, first year course at Rhodes, while they are upgrading their marks. And the success rate has been very good, and that's a way of helping them to transition, because there's a big transition from school to university, and I think that's one of the ways. But in terms of the financial situation, you know, students are eligible to apply for NSFAS funding. They can apply for bursaries for teacher education. So there are different ways of funding them.
But the results speak for themselves. You recorded 100% pass rate through GADRA, and I believe you're now institutionalizing the program, expanding it into the Faculty of Science and Commerce for this year. When you look at the lessons for other universities in South Africa, what would you say are some of the key learnings and lessons? Because these are iterative processes. You learn as you go. What would you like to share?
Well, I think that you can achieve a big, bold vision if you can work in partnership with others. I mean, nobody can do it on their own. And I think what we've learned is that you can't sit back and wait for things to happen. You've got to go out and seek partners who are also, that share that vision and want to make things happen. And that's what we've done. We've targeted the schools and we've targeted the young people that we want to work with. So, for example, the 9-10ths, one of the lessons we learned is that we can't work with everybody, because not everybody is going to be able to access university. So we've now got a selection process in place where we basically cream off the best in each school, the young people that have got the best chance of success. So I think the first thing to realize is that you can enact a bold vision if you get the right people around the table. Mm. The second thing is that we've learned that schools are complex organizations and that you can only bring about change where there is effective leadership in a school and where there's a staff that's willing to engage. And this doesn't happen overnight. So that's why we haven't tried to go out and do it in every school. We've looked for where there are emerging sites of excellence that we can build and strengthen. But what we're hoping ultimately is that that ethos and that belief that change can happen will spread, and that we will get more and more schools and teachers and principals coming on board. And then the last thing we've learned is that universities have the most amazing resource in their student body. The young people that we have in our university are just amazing young people that are willing to roll up their sleeves and get out there and make a difference. And that for me is what, it's just so encouraging and so inspiring and so humbling to be working with young people like that.
And it's such a valuable experience for those young people as well. Some through no fault of their own, who might have lived rather sheltered, privileged lives, to be able to engage with real South African communities, to roll up their sleeves. But it is about cultural change, and that's tough sometimes, and change management at the school level. But fantastic to hear your thoughts on where you've succeeded and to hear the kind of work that you are doing down there. Professor, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That was Di Wilmot, Professor and Dean of Education at Rhodes University. Let's cross now to Pusa Letso for the latest traffic.